Tony and John, they have gone off to be inside a hotel where the smell of the sea is not in the air, as they're not near the coast, or are they? What's sure is the hotel can boast many distractions, fun for the family and all other factions. The Total Hotel Experience. Arriving at the hotel desk, John was welcomed to the establishment by a yellow ostrich.
Hello, sir.
Hello, ostrich. I'm sharing a room with Mr. McKenna. He should already have registered. Oh, here he comes, look.
What, this paediatrician coming down the stairs with a surgical mask on?
That's him. Amico, bro.
Hello, brother. So what have you come as?
Nothing. I see, because you didn't realise it was fancy dress, because you didn't read the leaflet I lent you.
He can borrow my uniform and go as a hotel receptionist.
Oh, that's really kind of you, that.
Nay, bother. Now, if you'll just excuse me, sir, while I put my head in this fire bucket.
Not all the dress was fancy at the fancy dress event. Some just went the way they were and others never went. And someone took a felt-tip pen and blackened out a lens, and she became a pirate in the mirror. In the men's. Well, that's good, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, fancy dress.
I mean, you got all sorts. Pirate, farmer.
Hmm? Pediatrician.
Cowboy. Hmm. Take that surgical mask off, will you, Tony? It's really hard to hear you with my earplugs in.
All right. Okay, John.
Thank you. You know the couple who won the fancy dress?
Mm-hmm.
Neptune and the Mermaid?
Yeah.
Well, she was telling me about how their marriage was on the rocks, and she asked me if I wanted a threesome with her. And then I met her husband, and he was going on. He said, do you want a threesome? And I said, no, thanks. And do you know what he did?
Mm-hmm.
He knocked off my glasses with his trident.
I'm putting in my earplugs now, John. Good night.
During breakfast the next morning, John looked at the activities leaflet and discovered there was nothing listed until the musical duo called Dynamite that evening. He asked of the passing maitre d', are there any activities for today?
Yes, there's the musical duo, Dynamite.
Yeah, but that's tonight. What about today?
Well, there's reading in the lounge. Reading material is provided in both the form of newspapers, and I am talking about today's newspapers, as current as you can get, and also, of course, for reading of a more archival nature, there are the books on the shelving. Yeah. Guests have completely open access thereunto.
In the dining room were Neptune and the Mermaid in more normal attire.
Oh, John, please don't be ridiculous.
Tony, could you pass the toast, please?
Oh, so you're having the toast, are you?
Do you think one piece is a bit meagre?
Well, John, we were down late. I think they've been very accommodating.
Anyway, I'm off to feed the birds.
He wasn't back for lunch, so John ate alone, taking a Polaroid photograph of both his main course and his dessert so Tony could see what he had missed. He didn't bother trying to capture the tomato soup or coffee, as these, he felt, could be adequately described with language. After lunch, John went back to lounging in the lounge. He decided to deviate from the reading option and give his attention to his spectacles. He tucked himself into a seat beside the open fire. Opposite sat Hamish the dog and his owner, the human. John lumped a log onto the burning. The sparks flew. Lovely an open fire, isn't it?
Hey, altogether nice.
I liked your farmer's outfit at the fancy dress last night.
Oh, it wasn't an outfitter. I just put some lipstick on my cheeks and tucked my socks into my trouser.
Whose lipstick was it?
Oh, I borrowed it from the pirate lady in the toilet.
That was very generous for a pirate. This left the dog owner feeling he had nowhere to go in the conversation. John looked at the dog. If your dog had been a border collie, it'd looked even more like a farmer.
Oh.
Hamish's owner opted out of the human exchange. John leant forward and began talking to his companion. He cleaned his spectacles as he spoke, and Hamish cleaned his privates. My father used to warn me about talking to strangers. John paused, looked into the eyes of the recipient for response. The dog got up without a word and moved in the direction of the garden, followed by the man.
What's your problem?
The former pirate was approaching John, reproachingly.
No problem.
Oh, don't lie. you look like it's already happened.
What?
It has. You know how some people say, cheer up, it might never happen. Well, you look like whatever it is has happened already.
Where's your accent from?
Oh, I was born in Poland, but I moved away when I was very young.
Mm. Something I've often wondered is the name Wojtek. We had a Polish boy in our school. Tony! Coming over here. How was it?
I'll see you in the lift later.
Oh, I'll see you later on. I missed you, man. I missed you. I thought you were just going to feed the birds. Nearly 4 o'clock. Four!
I went to the pub and I had a game of dominoes with some of the local people.
4 o'clock now? I wish you'd come and got me. I'd love to join in.
Sometimes a man needs to be alone, John.
Yeah, you weren't alone, were you? You had a load of other people there. You were engaging them in domineering activities and not thinking of me.
Well, look, I'll give you a game this evening, all right? And please don't feel you need to be implicated in every aspect of my life, John. It draws me away from you.
Mm. Yeah, Tony, look, anyway, I took some photographs of the meal that you missed out.
Oh, very thoughtful of you.
That's the main course.
John let him see. Nice.
What was that?
And Tony said it was a very novel idea, but was disappointed not to see a photo of the soup, as he found John's description of it to be inadequate, as well as inedible.
I've spotted somebody I've known, Tony.
Oh, yeah? Who is it, John? Or her. Why is she using a thumbnail to chip off a limpet of mud from that spud?
Yeah, I don't know that, but what I do know is that is Mrs. Phelps. Do you remember that singles weekend I was telling you about when I met Mrs. Phelps there, got a bit friendly, then tried to backtrack? Well, better face the music before we face the dynamic duo tonight. Mrs. Phelps, hello.
Let's talk about betrayal, shall we?
The wrong phone number he'd purposely given her had come home to be counted.
Do you know whose number it was? Do you? Do you? It was a woman whose dog had recently passed away. And when I asked if I could speak to John, she started crying because John was the name of a recently deceased dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I couldn't have known, though, could I?
You didn't need to know because you didn't need to give me the wrong number, did you?
Will you forgive me?
Forgetting a bit, preferably, was pathetic.
I think I'll pop back a little later on.
Tony departed, ignoring the potato which struck him in the back of beyond.
You gave me the wrong number, John.
We've established that.
Oh, don't try your rationalising strategies.
I thought if I gave you the wrong phone number, you could at least think that I was doing it by mistake and not see it as rejection. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
But people know their own phone number, don't they? So how would I think it was a mistake?
Do you remember what I said? I said I'd recently moved. I said I'd moved away and then I gave you my phone number. Now, the idea was, OK, it sounds all as though I was contriving this, but I had you... You were upset and involved.
I'm going up.
Look, listen.
It's late.
No, listen before you go. I wanted you to think it was a mistake, that I'd recently moved, misremembered my phone number.
I'm going.
It's 8 o'clock.
10 past, actually.
In the music room that night, the duo had everybody up and dancing. Unfortunately, that was another duo, on another night, in another hotel.
Dominoes, John?
Yes. Actually, I'd like to play fives and threes, if you don't mind.
Do you mind? I don't mind at all.
Wood on wood. Wholesome, simple and good, but hard. I like a game of dominoes. I like the black clacking. I like to stack them end to end. I like to play them with my friend.
Do you know how to play it? Yeah, but it doesn't matter really. It's not points that count. It's the...
We'll keep a record.
Attention,
anyway.
Attention. Mrs. Phelps has been assassinated. Oh, nobody must leave the room.
Mrs. Phelps. What? The former fancy-dressed cowboy didn't look impressed.
Who is Mrs. Phelps?
Who was Mrs. Phelps? She was a late arrival, an older lady.
So how did she die?
What I assume to be the weapon was found beside her body. It was a crossbow customised to accommodate the firing of potatoes. This is a case for Sherlock Holmes.
Now, listen, you. I'm not satisfied with this mystery at all. In fact, the whole place is a letdown. I'm disappointed with this duo. They're not dynamite at all, and I've already moved rooms twice on account of this bloke's incessant barking.
No, it's my dog barking. It's not me, it's Hamish.
Why have we got a murder mystery with a guest that nobody knows? With a stupid weapon?
It's only a bit of fun.
A very small bit of fun.
Why don't we wait and see what happens when Sherlock Holmes gets here?
Is Dr. Watson coming too?
They probably haven't budgeted for him.
Look, why don't you stop complaining and let the other guests recover from the shock of the terrible news?
All right.
I think perhaps it might help to calm the nerves if our duo were to strike up their tunes once more.
Oh, you're joking. I can't. Sorry, I can't.
The Welshman is not a happy bar. But neither am I now. They're starting up again. Would you like to join us at Dom's, Mr. Matra?
I think it's disrespectful to the band and also to the dead. I'm going to keep watch for the famous detective.
I'll keep an eye open too.
Come on, let's put him away now. He's lost. John and Tony took the hint and put away their dotted oblongs, attempting to see the virtue in the songs of the duo.
You lost.
Oh, look! Here comes Sherlock Holmes!
It's the maitre d', detective. It's
not elementary, my dear cowpoke. Ah. Yes, I am the sleuther. I ruthlessly seek out the truth. And you, sir, you with the dominoes and the glasses are the number one suspect, having once killed a flame of friendship inside this woman with your uncaring disregard.
No. We were playing fives and threes. John gave his domino alibi, which was corroborated by his companion, who exhibited to the detective the felt-tipped scorekeeping of their disrupted game.
Is this traces of potato on the score sheet?
This quizzing was brought to a conclusion when Holmes answered his pretend mobile phone.
Excuse me. Hello? Yes? No. Well, thanks be for that. That was Watson, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be glad to know that resuscitation has been effected by the offices of the good doctor.
He has covered
the victim's body in wholemeal loaves and she has risen from the bread. And I can prove it.
Right. The duo signalled the end of the evening's detective entertainment.
He's right, though, Tan.
Who is?
That cowboy character.
About what?
About how it would have been better to have had someone we knew in the mystery.
I thought you did know her.
Yes. I mean someone all of us had known. Somebody could have pretended to be an ordinary guest and mixed with everybody, and when we heard they were dead, it would have meant more to us. That's what I'm saying.
Do you want to play dominoes with the cowboy, John? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
No.
Well, let's just give the matter a rest, shall we?
In the morning, John and Tony made their way downstairs for what was named in the activities leaflet as the pre-breakfast board meetings. The cowboy was already up and he had commandeered the dominoes, so John and Tony only had the choice of Monopoly or Cluedo. What do you like about Monopoly?
I like the boot.
I suppose I like the dog, but I don't like it as much as dominoes. It's just not as good, is it? This is the eighth time I've landed on the go at Jones Square.
You can't go. You can't put down a domino.
I wish he was in jail, don't you? I wish he was in jail.
It's your turn, John.
I'd rather have breakfast.
Can we have breakfast? All right. It's not dominoes, no. It's not really a two-player game, I don't think. Hello.
Oh,
good morning, Mrs. Phelps.
Tony. Oh, sorry about the potato incident. It was the hooligan element coming out in me.
Oh, don't worry. It's in all of us.
Don't do that. Don't put my glasses in Mrs. Phelps's porridge. Although you deserve it, actually. I've got rather a bone to pick with you. What's all this stuff about the murder and the maitre d'?
Well, I've been here a few times before, and on the last occasion he asked me if I'd be the subject of his little detecting diversion, as he calls it.
Mm. And do I detect a certain intimacy between you and he?
None.
He gets so jealous.
Not of me, surely.
With respect, it's never anything much to do with the other person.
What are you saying?
It's all to do with him and his desire to possess and all that.
Or what?
Anyway, I agreed to do it as long as I didn't have to go on show and as long as he agreed to involve a potato in the incident.
You got your filthy way then, did you?
No, I think he probably wished he hadn't asked me. He told me about the dissatisfaction of the guests.
Sleep with him, did you? Satisfy him, did you?
Excuse me, Tony?
Fortunately, Mrs. Phelps realised from Tony's clue that she shouldn't let herself get upset by these accusations, and she just gave John a quick karate chop in the windpipe to encourage him not to pursue this line of questioning, after which the three of them sat at the table
and looked out at the beautiful hills.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
John's throat injury prevented him from joining in with the after-breakfast haggis hurling, throughout which Hamish barked continuously in spite of not being locked up.
Oh, dear. Isn't it amusing how what starts out as a bit of fun turns into such a competitive test of muscular strength for the men, Tony?
Right, here you are, Tony. Your prize, a miniature bottle of whiskey. Oh. And I do hope you'll all have something super for us at tonight's gala finale. Anything up to 5 minutes in length. Oh, and no nudity, as the children are being allowed to stay up for this special event.
How are you, kids, anyway?
I haven't got any kids.
What about the second prize?
Oh, yes, it's a piece of funny string.
Well, what's funny about it?
It's a biro.
Oh, you're a laughing, how are you?
Well, it writes underwater.
Anyway, I must be going.
Going?
Yes, my work here is finished.
Finished?
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He didn't want her to go, but he knew it couldn't go on. He felt the weight of fate pulling her, as she did too. He knew she must be away. There would be an absence in his life without her, and as he wiped his tears, he felt a lump in his throat. Also, a little lump, previously unnoticed, on his left eyelid. John fancied a quick look at his luggage. Being as his neck still hurt, he decided to take the lift. The pirate from the second floor was already within. As the lift got stuck between floors, John pressed the very clean-looking red emergency button.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to press the button.
Can you try again?
No, I'm going to press it.
OK, we'll see.
Yeah.
No, nothing. Nothing's happening.
Hello up there. We've called the engineer. I'm afraid it's going to be a year before he gets here.
What, a
year?
It
could be less. It could be less.
Oh.
Can't you hurry him along a bit?
No.
Oh, an hour or two, I mean. Sorry. And that is the long time. You're from room 104, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And you're a youngish man, quite capable of using the stairs.
Leave him alone.
I'll call you when they arrive.
Mrs. Pirate smiled at John, settled into a corner and started letter writing. John bought a sheet of paper from her and began composing a little drama about the disadvantages of technology and the benefits of handwriting. When the engineers finally arrived, both trapeze were so absorbed in their lift activities, they didn't come out until they had finished the sentence they were on.
Where have you been, John?
In the lift. The lift that wouldn't shift.
What about a joint contribution to the gala finale?
What about tents out of brown paper?
Unsuitable for children, John.
Right. Well, what about this script? Look, I've written something about the disadvantages of technology and the benefits of writing by hand. Have you seen it, Mrs. Pirate?
Yes, but I can't read it. No, look, what about an old routine I saw on my first ever Girl Guide campfire? Now, it involves washing the floor with rags and buckets. Three times we go off to refill the buckets and then come in to scrub with clean water. On the sad occasion, one of us looks at the floor and says, "We can't get it any better than that. Our work here is done." And we throw the contents of the buckets over the audience, who cower in the expectation of water. But it's confetti.
Ah. Be good if we can make it different, though, in some way.
I know. Instead of confetti, we'll fill the buckets with potatoes.
Sorted.
And now our former fancy dress cowboy kicks off with a comedy routine.
Wait, settle down. Good evening. Well, it may not be good, but at least it's evening. Now, you may be wondering why I'm wearing this checked shirt. Well, it's because I've got a part-time job as a table in an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, well, you won't be much good for Domino's then, will you?
What? Why is that then?
Wouldn't be wood on wood, would it? It'd be wood on a person's back covered in a shirt.
No, you're right. I've lost my place now, hold on.
Play a harmonica.
Oh, OK.
No, I was only joking.
look, I think you can complete your story after the interval. Yes. Next up, we have a couple you may remember
as Neptune and the Mermaid.
We are going to perform a little song. I know. A little song for you.
Off you go.
Oh, now? Oh, right. My husband and I don't get along at all. The things we've got in common are so few.
It's a shame there's just the two of us. You could ne'er make a queue of us. Don't get married, so advice to you.
Yes, well, I think we'll take a break there. Tea, coffee and sandwiches are at the back. Toilets are where they usually are. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, Tony, I'm going to go and get us a sandwich. I just want a word with the cowboy geezer.
On the way.
Oi, cowboy, sorry, mate. I just wanted to have a word. I'm sorry about earlier. I expected I thought you put me down, you know, like a heckler or something. But tell me what's going to happen in your story. Go on.
Do you want to know, really?
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, like I was saying, the check shirt and all that, it's because I've got a part-time job as a table.
Excellent.
In an Italian restaurant.
Excellent start.
See, and then I'd say, I'd just come in here quick with a punchline. Yeah. And then,
although John thought that the audience hadn't missed out on anything, he was affirming.
And blame the bolognese is the source of my humour.
That's really good, actually.
You like that?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I think it's a shame you didn't tell it to everybody. I think they'd have really appreciated that. Maybe you should give it a go in second half.
Right. Thanks, that's very kind of you. But, telling you now, I realised that it was useless. So, you did me a favour getting me to stop, so thanks a lot. Yeah. Have a biro.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Right, if we could all reconvene, thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait.
Yes.
Show must go on.
Right, now.
Excuse me.
Right, settle, please. We now move on to our animal slot.
Oh.
Now, before we are introduced to the prodigious creature, I would just like to ask the dog's owner a few questions. So, what's your dog called?
Hamish.
Yes. When you leave your dog's dirt in a public place, do you ever clean up the dirt of another dog on a one-to-one basis? And how long have you had your dog? How long is your dog? Have you ever placed a pair of spectacles on your dog? If so, where? Does your dog make unpleasant smells? Do you mark them out of 10? Questions to which we do not know the answers. What we do know is that Hamish is here with his handler and is here to perform some tricks of his own. Hamish and his handler. Thank you. Hamish is now going to sit. Sit, Hamish.
The tricks which followed were unimpressive. Hamish was told to sit, stand, sniff and bark, which he continued to do beyond his owner's termination of the performance.
No. Yes, right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Hamish and his handler. A nice big hand, please, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Right, and now on to our very own receptionist, Trevor, who will perform a poem of his own composing. Oh. Trevor!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'd just like to bring a little bit of culture to the evening. Recite a little poem that's very close to my heart. Thank you. I like it to be tender with my own gender. A chap's got as much right to love another chap as he's got to wear a back-to-front baseball cap.
Spot on, Trevor, mate!
Yes, well, I object to that poem, Trevor.
Come on!
Very short.
Come on,
and now, to end off the evening's entertainment, Mrs. Pirate and her two assistants will perform a brief sketch entitled Cleaning People with Potatoes.
cleaning people with potatoes.
Yes. Look at the mess on this floor.
It is a very dirty floor.
We must clean the floor, clean the floor, clean the floor. And when we clean the floor, we'll clean the floor some more. Clean, clean, clean the floor, clean the floor.
So what did you think of the turns?
Oh, ours went down well.
I think the parents of those kids were a bit over the top about those spuds.
We did give one of them mild concussion, though.
A potato can't have concussion, Tony. Did you like what I said to them?
The spuds or the parents?
The parents. That there was no need to go over the top because the spuds were over the top of everyone, so there was no harm done.
John, I'm putting my earplugs in now.
After breakfast the next morning, John and Tony joined the other guests gathered in the foyer, awaiting the maitre d' and a final address. Out he came, punctual and proud, stood in a kind of mobile pulpit.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This foyer's a little cold. Trevor, do you think you and your new friend could wheel me into the lounge?
Right. Come on, cowboy. Right, stand aside. Why didn't we meet in the lounge in the first place?
Well, I think we had enough heckling last night, didn't we?
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Silence, please, for my friend and yours. The maitre d'.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Right. Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming. Now, we've had problems... Not but many. I do feel we've eventually operated as a team. There's been a group spirit generated here, and I do hope...
An abrupt ending, but an optimistic one. In the Total Hotel Experience, you heard myself, John Hagley. I was John. The narrator as well, that was me. Simon Munnery, he was Tony. I didn't say his name clearly, and I'm going to say it for you again, Simon Munnery. Terry Malloy, he was the maitre d', Sonny Ormond was the pirate, and Andy Hockley was the cowboy. Yeehaw! Other parts played by the cast. We all chipped in. The music was composed and played by Nigel Piper. The Total Hotel Experience was written by me, John Hegley, and was directed by Anne Edervine.